Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard and the team with you now until 6:30 p.m. taking a look at the sporting action for the Isle of Man coming up this weekend. So, on tonight's programme. After a busy run of midweek fixtures, it's the turn of cup competition to take centre stage in Manx football this weekend. In rugby, Saturday sees the remaining qualifier take place for the 2024 Manx Cup final to be held in 8 days' time. In athletics, a big contingent of Manx athletes are once again expected to take on the iconic London Marathon on Sunday. We're here from a couple of the runners taking part, and a new tournament launches this weekend aiming to boost women and girls cricket. That is all to come this evening. Welcome back once again to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio, taking a look at the sporting action across football, rugby and more taking place on Saturday and Sunday. Well, we're going to turn our attention to football first, and after a really hectic midweek schedule of fixtures to catch up on the effects that the weather has had in recent times, we turn our attention to the weekend's fixtures, where it's cup competition that is taking the spotlight. And to go through it all as ever is our football correspondent Tony Meffin. Tony, very good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Rob. And what's this stuff outside we've got here? The sunshine. We're not used to that.
Sunshine and blue skies. It's all we hope it's going to become a bit more familiar over the coming months. So more of this, please, around the Isle of Man, I think it's fair to say.
Definitely.
And we'll certainly be hoping that that's going to be the case on Saturday and Sunday, because we do have an exciting set of cup fixtures happening across the 2 days coming forward. And we're going to start by looking at Saturday. And it is the start of one of the most anticipated cup competitions, I think, in Manx football this weekend, the 2024 Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup, the preliminary round taking place on Saturday with games kicking off at 2:30 p.m. 18 teams in the hat here for this one. Let's take a look through those fixtures. We'll start off over at Bala Fletcher, and this sees Corinthians, a bit of a mixed season for them in the Premier League, up against the Douglas High School All Boys side in Division 2, already got a Woods Cup under their belt, and it's been a great run for them in the grand scheme of things over the last couple of weeks and months.
Yeah, it has, and both of them had midweek games, and looking at Corinthians' game against Ramsey in the league, it was a good tie. Corinthians got beat 2-1, but really good to watch, and the young players that have come through the system at Corinthians are starting to sort of gel very nicely indeed. But as you rightly say, Old Boys with that cup in the bag and looking for another one. We'll be looking to see if they can sort of just show how strong they are in Division 2. But I just think Corinthians will be too strong for them, and that's why I'll go for Corinthians with the victory.
And then not too far away over at Gary Moore is one of the All Premier League clashes in the preliminary round, and that sees Union Mills currently battling away with teams around them towards the bottom of the Canada Life Men's Premier League, up against the title contenders Ayr United, Tony.
Yeah, Union Mills, I've watched them a couple of weeks ago and did very well against Moran. I think Ryan Kelly's doing a really good job there, getting everyone gelled together. I think it's hoped with help with Owen Quayle coming back into the team, certainly. But up front, they've got people who can score goals. Luke Booth, one of them. And they'll make it difficult against Ayr United. But Ayr, still one or two players missing. Declan Cummins, Aidan Cummins, suspensions are still there. So that's a difficult position for them to try and fill in. But one or two players are back in to fill them spots, and George Rawlinson being one of them. I just think Ayr will be too strong.
And then we take a look over at what looks to be an intriguing clash on paper. It's Division 2 title hopefuls Foxdale, and they're going to be coming up against a Douglas Royal side in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, who suffered a rather sobering 6-1 defeat away at Moran on Tuesday night. And Tony, there's had been a little bit of an alteration to this fixture as well, hasn't there?
Yeah, there is. It was altered midweek, I think it was, and Foxdale have given up home advantage and are playing this up at Bala Fletcher, and this is the game we're going to cover tomorrow. But Douglas Royal took a bit of a beating midweek, didn't he, against Moran, so hopefully the team's a lot stronger. I know there's one or two players missing, but Foxdale were beaten by Russian and only just in the sort of FA Cup show. It shows that they're a good side, and I watched them recently against Governors up at Colbian. They've got a nice defensively solid, midfield work hard, and up front goal scorers. So I think Foxdale can make it really difficult. It'll be down to team news from Douglas Royal. And I've just got a sneaky feeling this one might go into extra time, possibly even penalties, because it's going to be tight.
And then an all Division 2 affair over at Clackvane, and that's Malou versus Jims.
Yeah, and you've got to go for Malou. They scored 4 goals midweek. Jordan Krippner's been in good form for them. And Jim's just, you know, struggling a little bit, aren't they, to sort of get some goals. And I think that'll be the proven point, and Malou will go through.
And then this really does seem like a David and Goliath situation, I think, over out in the west of the island. The current Canada Life Men's Premier League leaders, Peel, up against Division 2 Governors Athletic.
Yeah, it always reminds me a little bit, this one, Rob, when it was Douglas and District against Peel up at Glencutchery Road. And I think it was Dee who took the lead, but then I think the final score, I think I'm right, is 15-1, Peel won. So it just shows you how you know, things can change. But Governors Athletic, a very physical team. You know, they're big, they're strong. I watch them, and they play some good football as well. Got one or two really good young players in there. But Peel absolutely flying, even though they had a little bit of a scare against Geordies, but got it right in the end. And I think Daniel Bell's team will prove too strong. Interesting just to see with Lee Gale with his injury. But Reece Oates was there with a hat-trick last time, and I'm pretty certain with him up there, that'll cover the gap. So go for Peel.
Very well. And then another all-Premier League clash over at Croydon Lowy. That sees Rushen United up against St John's United.
Yeah, speaking to Sam Brown today, St John's manager. And apart from one, as I think it's Kieran Brock, who's still suspended, that he's got a full-strength team. So Dean Leese will be in there. Luke Murray will be in there. So it's going to look good for St John's. But, you know, Rushen are flying at the moment, Rob, and you wouldn't bet against them. And, you know, sad news for them. Sean Watterson, who was their past chairman, passed away this week. And there's going to be a minute's silence or applause tomorrow. So our thoughts are with the club and his family. Great man, funny man. And it'll be a big, big loss to not only everyone that he knew down at Rushen, but just in general. He was such a nice man. But I'm going to go for Rushen just to take the victory.
Well said. And in the earliest of the kickoffs in the Hospital Cup preliminary round, I should say, is down at the Bowl, another all-Premier League affair, and that sees St Mary's up against Ramsey, two of the strongest sides in the Canada Life Men's Premier League throughout the season so far.
Yeah, it is, and I think Ramsey have just got the edge on St Mary's at the moment. I watched them on Tuesday, played really well in that first half against Corinthians, 2 goals near enough within 5 minutes, but causing, you know, problems through there. But second half, they didn't have it all their own way, and Corinthians got themselves back into it. But there's you know, last night I think it was 12-0 in the Cal Cup, so I'm sure there's one or two of those players that will have played in that game and might be just a little bit tired, might help St Mary's. But I just think at the moment St Mary's are going to find it difficult, Ramsey, to go through.
And that is an earlier kickoff, just a reminder, yep, at 1:45 p.m. The others kicking off at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. Two more fixtures in the Hospital Cup preliminary round. And one of those, it's a bit of a repeat of what was a cracking cup fixture earlier in the season. Maroon battling away to try and fight for their survival in Canada Life Men's Premier League. An impressive 6-1 win over Douglas Royal in midweek in the league. They welcome a Castletown side who pushed them all the way in the last cup meetings between these sides at the Memorial Playing Fields earlier in the campaign, Tony.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, Maroon deserved it. And I think, you know, last Saturday when I watched them sort of in the game, I just thought, you know, Maroon are looking a really good team. And I've just spoke to you off air, and, you know, two or three of the players that caught my eye last week have certainly done it again midweek. And, you know, Adam Scarfe, hat-trick by him, but he looks a bit of a player, and he's only a young lad. So I'd say to Blaine Slattery, go and have a look at him. I think he's got something about him, and I think that could be the difference. I think Castan at the moment, they know going forward they've got the people to score the goals, but it's just defensively they need to keep things nice and tight, maybe stop Maroon, but I think it's going to be a difficult job.
And last but certainly not least, rounding off the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup preliminary round fixtures is an all Division 2 affair, and that sees Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. They'll be hosting Paul Rose United.
Yeah, and you know, Ramsey Youth Centre will take this one, I think. You know, Paul Rose, one or two players missing last week, and it'll make it difficult for them. They don't score many goals. That's a big problem for them, as where Ramsey Youth Centre, when they get it right, can get someone in. And Ross Crawford's been a good goal scorer for them. Say he's predominantly a defender, he's done well, and that's why I go for Ramsey Youth Centre.
Those are the fixtures on Saturday, moving into Sunday, and the cup action continues. Kicking off at 2:30 p.m. across Sunday are the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup preliminary round fixtures, and 16 teams vying for a place in the next phase. And Tony, we'll quickly take a look through these fixtures, and just seeing a couple that stand out at the moment. You've got the likes of the current Combination 1 leaders, Ramsey. They'll be away at Laxey. Their nearest contenders and defending champions, Rushen United, they're also on the road. They will be at Braddon. And looking elsewhere, Onken, who actually went went top of combination two in midweek. They're up against St John's United.
Yeah, we'll go into a bit more detail tomorrow when we know what the squads have been like, because it's a pure lottery this one, Rob, because you can have first team players who qualify to play in this game. But let's have a look from top to bottom. Douglaston District against Moran. You've got to fancy Moran in this one, being the Premier or combination one there team. Douglas Royal against Douglas High School Old Boys. I'm going with Old Boys in that because, you know, when you look at combination two, they're right up the top. Douglas Royal have been struggling a little bit. Braddon against Rushen, as you've just said. Rushen are one of the favourites for this competition, so go with Rushen. Laxey against Ramsey, I'm going to go with Ramsey. We've got Governors Athletic against Foxdale. I think Governors might just sneak that one. Peel against Colby, I'll go with Peel. Douglas Athletic against Maloo, look at the league table, says it all, I'll go for Athletic. And Onken against St John's, that's going to be really interesting because combination one, St John's against high-flying Onken in combination two. I'm going to take a chance here and go for Onken to take the victory.
Cup competitions, you just never know, do you? You just never know. Well, what a way to round off things on Sunday as well, because at 2:45pm on Sunday at the Bowl, we have the Canada Life Women's FA Cup Final. Peel already have the Canada Life Women's League in the bag up against Onken. And Tony, Onken, you would imagine, come into this as underdogs, but surely they'll be right up for taking on the giants of the Canada Life Women's League at the moment.
Well, definitely, and I watched Peel last week against Maloo, it was, and you know, only when Becky Corgish came off the bench, they sort of made it safe. Yes, there were two or three players missing, and you know, when you miss out players like Lisa Castain, it's always going to be a problem. Ellie Gorn didn't play neither, so Onken know what's coming. They'll enjoy the final and they'll have a good go, and they are one of those teams that could sort of do something against Peel. So we'll wait and see what the team news is like, but you have to go with favourites Peel.
Tony, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
As the much-anticipated Manx Cup final edges ever closer in Isle of Man rugby, the final qualifying showdown will take place this Saturday. One of the sides involved is already guaranteed a spot in the last two, whilst their opponents tomorrow are already in a strong position to join them. What's more, recent previous meetings between the two in the tournament have provided entertainment for spectators. Here with the details, as always, is our rugby correspondent, Dave Christian.
It's the last qualifying game for this year's competition. It is Ramsey versus Douglas. It's at the Murrick Park. Kick-off is at 2:15pm, and don't be late. This could be a dress rehearsal for the final, which is due to take place on the 27th, or it might not be. The result on Saturday around about 4 o'clock will tell all. The permutations, reasonably straightforward. Douglas have already qualified for the final and will be in the final whether they win, lose or draw tomorrow. No problem there. Ramsey, on the other hand, are tied with Vagabonds in the standings. Ramsey need to finish ahead of Vagabonds if they want to get into the final. To do that, they need to score at least one championship point against Douglas. Now, you get 4 points for a win. You get a bonus point if you score four or more tries. You also get a losing bonus point if you lose but are within 7 points of the opposition. So, Ramsey, they know what they need to do if they're going to get through on championship points. If they don't get that point that they need, it will then go down to points difference, which is very similar to goal difference in footy. The points difference at the moment, Ramsey are clear of Vagabonds by 101 points. So if they lose and fail to pick up a losing bonus point, provided they don't lose by more than 101 points, they will qualify for the final. So the die is almost cast, but not quite. We look back to the playing record. Ramsey played Douglas twice in last year's Manx Cup. The Manx Cup final, Douglas won 23-14. And I think in the earlier game, it was 35-12. So those two games are suggesting to me that we're not going to see a 102-point or more winning margin. It'll be much closer than that. However, there haven't been that much changes to either team, but Douglas have had 20-odd league matches at level 6 in the RFU level structure, whereas Ramsey have maybe had 10 at level 9. So the gap in playing level from the start of the season to this point is quite large. And that should favour Douglas, but you never know what will happen on the day. The Manx Cup is a strange animal, and it will inspire players from both sides, to be fair. It'll give Ramsey a boost, but it may give Douglas a boost as well. Douglas last week beat Vagabonds convincingly, 79-7 down there at Portishee. It was difficult to pick a weakness in that Douglas team. The front five were in incredible form. They dominated the Vagabonds scrummage. Vagabonds got very little ball. Outside of that front five, the back row, young and athletic, they got around the park, made them presence felt. Blake Snell in the Douglas second row managed to pick up four tries, which is pretty much unheard of for someone playing in the front five in a pack. Outside of that pack, Kyle Martin and Luke Highland, a halfback for Douglas, imperious form. Outside of those two in the Douglas backline, Shea Waterworth really impressed me last Saturday. Anybody who was listening to last Saturday's updates will have heard me enthusing about him. He was very influential early on in setting up the Douglas scores. He had a very good game, and towards the end of the game, Sam McCord came in from fullback, started to influence the way the Douglas backline was running and picked up two tries himself. Those sort of players, if they're out again this week, and we don't have any Douglas team news at the moment at least, if they're out, it's going to be very, very difficult for Ramsey. That said, Ramsey are gritty enough and they have their own players. Rory Nicholson's going to come in the front row. Him, Adam Dunlop and Ben Hardman will be difficult for Douglas to overcome, but I suspect that Douglas scrummage might just start to dominate. Line-out might go Ramsey's way. They'll have in the second row, I think Stevie Neal's going to be in there, and probably Josh Cateen. And Josh Cateen will make a difference for Ramsey. He's athletic around the park in the same way that Blake Snell is for Douglas. Ramsey back row, again, young and mobile. Matt Meekin back from a shoulder injury at number 8 to lock it all together. And Nathan Robson at scrum half is going to give Kyle Martin a pretty good run for his money, I would think. Outside of those guys, Jake Richmond in the Ramsey centres is really classy. The battle between him and Shea Waterworth is going to be a belter. And on the wings, Ramsey have got Brandon Atchison, a proven try scorer. But as we've seen in the past, defences tend to focus on Atchison because of his sheer speed, and they neglect Danny Howard, who's on the other wing. And Danny Howard is a sharp operator and almost as quick as Atchison. So it promises to be a right old ding-dong. On paper, at least, you've got to go for a Douglas win, but I suspect we're going to see Douglas against Ramsey in the Manx Cup final in a week's time, although I can't be 100% sure on that, but everything points that way, and hopefully we'll get a cracking game in some nice weather on Saturday.
Manx Radio Sport.
On Sunday, another large contingent of Manx athletes are once again expected to descend on the UK for the latest edition of the iconic London Marathon. The historic event in the English capital continues to attract not just some of the best long-distance athletes in the world, but also people from all walks of life taking on the challenge for different causes and goals. Among the Isle of Man competitors taking up the test this year are Jonathan Pugh and Nicky Arthur. I asked them about how it feels to know they'll be part of it all and what their ambitions are when they set off across that start line in just under 2 days' time.
I've tried on numerous occasions to get in either through the ballot or good for age. So yeah, I'm really excited. Got a place this year because it's so difficult to get into. As a kid, I used to always sit down with my mum and dad and watch it on the television in the 80s when we used to always sit down and watch it. So it'll be nice to actually run it for real and see all the iconic, it's sort of, you know, Big Ben and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that side of it. So my mum trained as a nurse on the Isle of Man in the late 70s, early 80s, and moved over to Clatterbridge to work, and she helped set up the lymphedema service over there that a lot of Manx people go to from Nobles. So when she retired, she helps for a charity called Maggie's, and I've set up a Just Giving page, and the Manx people have been very generous and sponsored me. I'm trying to run sub 3 hours. This is my sixth marathon. I've come close but not quite broken that 3 hour barrier yet, so I'd love to break 3 hours. I've got a coach who thinks that it's well within my capabilities this time, so hopefully I can prove him right.
The route is lovely for a start, getting through like the city like that and getting to experience the crowds. It's just like, it's electric from the beginning right the way through to the end, and there's no point of the route where you just don't have support. It's like just fantastic. And distance running on the Isle of Man at the moment is absolutely phenomenal for such a small little population. Like, we've got absolutely amazing class like athletes, and there's just so many new names on the lists of marathons that are taking part. It's fantastic that there's so many Manx athletes able to take part in such a big event. And I think because people are doing marathons a lot more, like, you maybe don't appreciate just how hard these events are. So anybody that's starting on Sunday, well done to everybody for taking part and getting it done. When I went to do London the first time, and my partner Oren was like, oh, you'll just love it. And I was like, oh yeah, I'd done a load of road races. And I was like, yeah, they're fine, but it's just something else. Like, it's just unbelievable. And then there's always Manxies out on the route, like, supporting as well, which is ace. And particularly if you're not expecting them, like, that's really, really nice. Like, turning around a corner, like, mile 18, and there's a friendly face. It's just brilliant.
Manx Radio Sport.
And finally, this weekend sees the launch of a new tournament aiming to boost women and girls cricket on the Isle of Man. The Female Cricket Super Series will see its first game take place on Sunday. It's a short format tournament welcoming female players aged 13 and over. So what long-term benefits could it achieve for the sport? Well, to find out, I spoke with Ireland players Lucy Barnett and Danielle Murphy, as well as Isle of Man Cricket Development Officer Greg Wright.
I think it'll definitely increase the number of women participants on the Isle of Man. It really gives them a chance to play hardball cricket without having to go straight into the men's league.
It's a great opportunity. It gives everyone like an inspiration, a pathway forward, rather than just playing softball or not having the opportunities at all. It definitely gives a massive opportunity to everybody to see where they can go and what they can do with cricket.
I think it'll definitely increase the strength of the squad and bring competition for places.
It's making more players come along, so it makes us much bigger and much stronger. So it's just putting more fight within it as well. So everyone's kind of having more competition to fight for places and stuff like that. And it's just giving another element to the game. And it's just making it a bit more exciting.
Yeah, hopefully it might open up the opportunity to have weekly women's only fixtures.
Especially now it's just been introduced into part of the curriculum for school. So like, it's given an opportunity now as well to have a pathway outside of school for girls to get into that cricket and into taking part in it and seeing where they can go with it as well. So hopefully it'll grow over the next few years to become even bigger than it is currently.
The reason for it and the rationale is just literally to give the girls opportunity to play hardball cricket. And as Danny alluded to, with it now being in secondary schools on the curriculum, it's a great opportunity to really give every aspect of the game, from softball through to hardball, through to club, through to national team. It's huge, and to back it up, because we're expecting it to be as big as we hope. So we're employing a female-only development officer to take on the role of growing the women's game on the island as well. We're starting this weekend, and we've got two teams scheduled down to play, which will be the Rubies and the Emeralds. Hopefully by the end of the summer we can see it grow to potentially four teams. We'd like to see that with a longer term view of potentially eight teams, which will then allow us qualification for Women's World Cup qualifiers proper.
That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests, as always. And have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing in this glorious weather we've been enjoying today. And have yourself a wonderful weekend, whatever you're doing as well. Chris Kinley is here with you next. But from me, until next time, it's bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.